you this morning to take your copy of the Word of God and turn to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 7, and be looking today at verse 25. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25. Notice what the Word of the Lord says to us this morning. Therefore, He is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Him, since He ever lives to make intercession for them. Interceding for others is a lonely task. You can ask others to pray for you, to pray with you, yet pouring out your heart for another person is a lonely calling. You have to be away from others. You have to say no to the hustle and bustle of life. You have to say no to good activities and to those things that can be worthwhile. You must choose to separate yourself from others in order to be with God and to pray for others. And this may be something that other folks may not always understand. On top of this, the people that you pray for may not even know that you're praying for them. They may have no idea that you're pleading for them and their needs before the Father's throne of grace. And the simple truth is, they may never know. They may never understand how you pour your heart out to God for them. They may never know how you intercede for them. Added to this, it may seem that your intercession is having no effect in the person's life. You may never see the effect that your prayers make in the lives of other people. You know, throughout church history, intercessors have endured loneliness, frustration, and discouragement. How can you work through the loneliness of intercession then? How can you face and overcome the discouragement and the frustration that the intercessor can feel? Today I want to present to you some biblical principles to help you to work through the loneliness of intercession. I want to share with you some biblical principles that can help you deal with the frustration and the discouragement that can often hinder and cripple your intercession for others. These are some biblical principles that as we put them into practice, it can strengthen, it can give new life, it can renew our commitment to pray over the long haul for individuals, to continue to pray and pour out our hearts to God for those that are in desperate need of our prayer. The first biblical principle that I would share with you this morning to help you deal with the loneliness of intercession, to deal with the frustration and the discouragement that often comes with intercession is simply this. Realize that God understands how you feel. The Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest intercessor of all time. Again, look at what it says in Hebrews 7:25. Therefore, He is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Him, since He ever lives to make intercession for them. The Word of God tells us that Jesus is constantly interceding. He prayed in this life. He prays at the very throne of God, even now. He is constantly praying, interceding for those He loves, for those that belong to Him. The Bible also says, if you turn there to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, the fifth chapter of Hebrews, verse 7. And notice what the Word of God says there. Who in the days of His flesh, speaking of Jesus, in the days of His flesh, refers to His time on the earth. Who in the days of His flesh, when He had offered up prayers and supplication with vehement cries and tears to Him who was able to save Him from death and was heard because of His godly fear. The Bible says that Jesus offered intercession to God. He offered supplications to God with vehement cries and tears. Jesus knows what it's like to pour your heart out to the Father. He knows what it's like to pour out your heart and your soul in prayer for other people. Jesus understands what it means to pray for others. He has been here. He has done this. He has compassion for you today. He sympathizes with your struggle. No one else may understand your struggle in prayer, but He does. You may feel like no one knows the struggle that you're in today. No one understands the burden that you have to pray. No one can seemingly understand what you're going through, but I want you to know that Jesus knows, Jesus understands, and He sympathizes. He is right there in the midst of the late nights and the early mornings of prayer. He sees every tear. He hears every word. He knows the motives of your heart. is right there when you labor and strive in prayer. He's right there when you don't think you can go on. Jesus has prayed for all kinds of needs, all kinds of situations. If you look at the prayer life of Jesus, Jesus prayed over a variety of needs. He prayed for healing for people. He prayed for forgiveness for those that persecuted him. He even wept over a lost city when he cried out, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem," there in Matthew 23. He's prayed in all types of situations. And he is able to sympathize with you. He is able to strengthen you. He is able to empower you. No one else may know how you feel. But Jesus is intimately acquainted with you. Is intimately acquainted with your feelings and your situations. And that should drive you to cry out to him today. Tell him about the loneliness that you're feeling. Tell him about the frustration that you're going through. Tell him about the discouragement that you are facing in your prayer life. Because he has been here. He knows what it's like to intercede. He knows what it's like to pour out your heart to the Father. Declare to him your struggle. Plead with him for insight, for power, for strength. I mean, the bottom line is this. If you want to know how to do something, ask an expert. If you want to know how to deal with a situation, ask somebody who's an expert in dealing with that situation. If you want to know how to make cars, talk to Lee Iacocca, the man who was behind Ford, and be able to tell you how to make cars, how to run a car business. And if you want to know how to play basketball, ask Michael Jordan. Ask the experts. Today, if you need to know how to intercede, if you need help in intercession, ask the expert Jesus Christ, for he has interceded, and he is even now, he knows your struggle. He knows what you're facing. And he can give you the power, the insight, and the help that you need to deal with whatever you're facing in your intercession. Whether it's loneliness or frustration, whether it's discouragement, whether you just don't know what's going on, in order to deal with the loneliness of intercession, you must realize that God understands how you feel. He knows your heart today. And if you'll cry out to Jesus and you will share with him the struggle that you're in, the loneliness that you feel, the discouragement that you're facing, he'll help you. If you need insight, if you need power, ask the expert Jesus. He can grant it to you. He can empower you. So the first principle that we see of dealing with this loneliness of intercession, being able to deal with the frustration and the discouragement that often comes with intercession, is simply this. Realize that God understands how you feel. But a second truth we want to see today, another biblical principle, is this. Keep love as the source of your motivation. When you are praying for others, make sure that your motivation is grounded in love. Now, if you will, take your copy of the Word of God and turn to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 22. And we're going to begin reading in verse 29. Matthew chapter 22. The Gospel of Matthew. Chapter 22, and we'll begin reading in verse 37. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." A believer prays because God answers prayer and because he or she wants God's will to be done on earth. A believer prays because he or she knows that God can change people by his grace and power. Think about the people for whom you are praying today. Think about the people that you have the great burden to pray for today. Why are you praying? You want God to bless them. You want God to change them. It is a powerful motivation to prayer. But love must be your primary motivation in prayer. Now you may say, well, why is that so? Because it will enable you to persist in your intercession. It will empower you to continue praying even when answers don't come. If answers don't come, if you don't see change, what is going to motivate you to persist in prayer? What will move you to pray for the long haul? What keeps you motivated to hang in there and pray no matter what? Love. Love, first of all, for God. The Bible says here in Matthew 22:37, Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." You pray for the long haul because you love God. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean by that this. Because you love God, you won't see God glorified. You won't see God magnified. I mean, if you love God today, you want people to know Him as He is. You want Him to be exalted. You want Him to be praised and glorified. And so you're praying for that person so that they can be changed, they can be touched, they can be blessed, they can have something of a mighty work of God in their life so that God might be glorified. You see, when love is your motivation, when love for God motivates you, it helps you to hang in there. You stay in there and you pray because you love God and you want to see God glorified by changing, by touching, by blessing that individual. But not only love for God, but also love for that person. Because Jesus says in the next verse, He says, "And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Because you love that person. Because you want their highest good, you pray. Even when there are no answers. Even when you're tired. Even when you're frustrated, even when you're discouraged, even when you're lonely, you keep praying. Why? Because you love that person. If you love someone, you will seek his or her highest good. You will desire what is best for him and her, and that will help you pray for the long haul. If you have to stay motivated when you don't see any answers, when you don't see any changes, when you don't see anything taking place in that person's life, you can keep going because you love them, because you want the highest good. You want the best for their life. You want them to experience the grace and the power and the mercy of God. That's why it's so important to pray to God to increase your love for those for whom you pray. Plead with Him to help you focus on their need. Ask God to give you a special and unique love for that individual. Ask Him to grant you an ever-increasing compassion for those for whom you intercede. Keeping love as the source of your motivation can aid you in praying no matter how lonely, no matter how frustrated, no matter how discouraged you feel, because you love God and because you love that person, you're willing to go the extra mile. You're willing to pray no matter what. Because you want to see God glorified. You love Him. You want to see Him magnified. And you love that person. You want God's best for them. A third biblical principle to help us to deal with the loneliness of intercession, the frustration and the discouragement that often comes with it is simply this. Don't focus on the present pain, but look to the end result. If you'll take your copy of the Word of God, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, we'll begin reading in verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Notice what the Word of God says here. "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and hath sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul." In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, the writer declares that we are to follow the example of Jesus. What is the example of Jesus that he says, that he speaks of here? He says in verse 2, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross." That's the example of Jesus that we're to follow. He looks to the joy on the other side of the cross, rather than focusing on the present pain. Jesus endured the agony and the shame of the cross because he was looking to the finished result. And on the basis of that, the writer of Hebrews says, don't look at the present pain, don't look at the present struggle, don't look at how hard things are right now, but look to the finished result. Look to the joy, look to the peace, look to the finality of your faith, and run the race. So you're not to get bogged down in the struggle and the suffering of the Christian life. You are to look to the finished product. Don't get bogged down by looking at today and the present struggles and the present difficulties, but look to the end. Look to the end of the race when all will be consummated, when your faith will be rewarded, when your faith is turned to sight. This principle, this truth can be applied to your intercession for others. Don't focus so much on the present pain as you do the finished product of your praying. I mean, don't focus so much on how lonely you feel and how discouraged you are and how frustrated you are and how you're wondering about if your intercession is doing any good. Don't focus upon that. Don't get your eyes fixed on those particular things. But look to the finished product. Look at what God is going to do when it's all said and done because you prayed. The loneliness, the doubt, the frustration, the discouragement, all of these things can be overwhelming when you pray for others. These things can enter in and hinder you and cripple you in your praying. They can hinder and cripple your praying, but you can overcome them if you will get your eyes off those things. Don't dwell on those things. Don't focus on those things, but focus on the end result. Focus on the final answer that God gives. Years ago, when I was playing football, one of the most grueling things was getting ready for the season, particularly in the summertime when it would be so hot and humid, out working out, out running, doing whatever had to be done to get ready for the football season. And I can remember very vividly that in all those workouts and in everything I did to get ready for that football season, my focus was not on the present pain. Yes, it hurt. And it was difficult, and it was painful. But I can remember very vividly, as if it was yesterday, that in the midst of all those workouts, when I was out running, when I was out doing those grueling things that had to be done to get ready for a season, I can remember my focus was not upon the pain of the moment, but it was on that football season, and on the championship, and on what I was going to be able to accomplish in that season if I hung in there and worked hard before the season started. Now my focus on the goal, the prize, it didn't lessen the pain. It didn't make those August days any cooler, or summer days any cooler. It didn't alleviate the grueling nature of the workout, yet it enabled me to keep going in spite of those things. When you pray for others, you are going to face loneliness. You're going to face frustration. There will be fear. There will be doubt. There will be discouragement. These things are going to be a reality for you. It's not a matter of if you face those things. It's a matter of when you face those things. Because of this, you must focus on what God will do through your praying. Focus on what God's power, God's mercy, and God's grace will do in that person's life, in that situation. You must look by faith to the finished result of your intercession. You must trust that God is working, that He hears you, and that He is working in the situation, that He is working in the person's life. I love what it says here in verse 1. He says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." We can't apply that to our prayer life. And what would it be if we applied to our prayer life? It would be, let us lay aside the loneliness. Let us lay aside the frustration. Let us lay aside the doubt. Let us lay aside the fear. Let us lay aside the discouragement and pray with endurance. Pray with power. Pray with boldness. Look at the end result. Lay aside all those things that can hinder and cripple your prayer life. And pray with boldness, with power, with endurance. Look at the end result. Keep your eyes fixed on this. Don't get bogged down in the present pain. But through eyes of faith, focus on what God can do and what God will do. It is crucial to overcoming these things that can hinder your prayer life. Don't focus on the present pain, but look to the finished product. Look to what God can and will do as a result of your praying. Another biblical principle that can help us overcome the loneliness of intercession is simply this: keep in mind and rejoice in the character that God is producing in you through your intercession. If you will take your copy of the Word of God and turn to Philippians chapter 2, the second chapter of Philippians, and we'll be looking at verse 13. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. And notice what the Word of God says there. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. You know, when you pray for others, you're asking God to bless them. You are seeking Him for their good, for their need. And God does bless your praying for others in the sense He does bless, He does meet needs, He does touch others. Yet the truth is that God blesses you when you pray for others. He works in your life when you pray. This is not the reason that we pray for others, but this is a benefit of interceding for others. God touches those for whom you pray, but as you pray for them, God touches you. God ministers to you. God deals with you. God is working to change you. That's what this text says in verse chapter 2, verse 13. It is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. He is wanting to enable you to do what He will. He is working to empower you to deal with your sin, to obey Him, to trust Him, to walk with Him in righteousness. When you pray, God does this in your life. He works in your life. Prayer is essential to God producing His character in you. Now, how does praying for others affect you? I mean, how does God work in your life? Why does God work in your life? Well, first of all, when you pray for others, you're more sensitive to His voice. God has your attention in a fuller way than at other times. You're in His presence. You're focusing on Him. As you focus on Him, as you pour your heart out to Him, you're more open to listening to Him. Because of this, God speaks to you in new and profound ways. He convicts you. He deals with you. He uses this as an opportunity to mold your character. When you pray for others, you exhibit a greater humility. Not only are you more open and sensitive to His voice, but you exhibit more humility. You humble yourself more before God in this time. Prayer is an act of humility. I mean, when you really pray, you're really humbling yourself before God, because when you pray, what are you saying? You're saying, God, I can't, but You can. When you're praying, you're more humble before God, you're more broken before Him at any other time, especially when you're pouring your heart out for someone, especially when you're interceding for someone. This enables you to accept what God speaks to you. It helps you receive and respond to His conviction. When this takes place, you change. You do what God commands. You act upon what God speaks to you because you have heard from on high. You've been broken and humble before Him, and you're able and willing to do what God says. Your brokenness during intercession gives Him the opportunity to speak to you in a way that no other time provides. Because of this, God touches you and God changes you when you pray. So when you pray for others, God works in your life because you're more sensitive to Him, and because you are more broken and humble for Him. But also, when you pray for others, God produces certain characteristics in your life. It's an opportunity for Him to train you in trusting Him and learning how to deal with others. When you intercede, God works to produce two basic characteristics in your life that you need for your relationship to God and your relationship to other people. The one characteristic He creates in your life that affects your relationship to Him is patience. When you pour out your heart for other people, God creates in you the ability to be patient, to wait on Him, to trust Him. Sometimes God is pleased to answer immediately. But we're going to find out that as we walk with the Lord, that many times it is intercession over the long haul. It is praying over a period of time before we see the fruit of our praying, before we see the changes in the lives of people. So when you pour out your heart to God in prayer, it creates in you the patience, the endurance, the ability to hang in there when there are no answers, the ability to be faithful when you can't see or hear or feel anything. And that's so crucial in our walk with God. Not just in our prayer life, but in every aspect of our life, we need the ability to be able to wait on the Lord, to trust Him and be faithful regardless of our circumstances. But not only does God create within us patience as an intercede for others, He also creates within us mercy toward others. God creates in you the ability to be merciful toward people. Especially when you're praying for somebody that's hardened. When somebody that you're praying for, they don't appreciate it. They don't care. In spite of their words, in spite of their behavior, you keep praying. And as you do that, God creates within you the ability to have mercy upon people. To not easily be offended, but to be compassionate and willing to minister to people regardless of how they are, what they say, what they do. Intercession can be a demanding, lonely task. But rejoice in what God is doing in your life as you pray. Yes, God is going to bless that person. Yes, God is going to deal with that person. But rejoice in the fact that even as you intercede for them, God is touching you. God is ministering to you. God is working in your life. Rejoice in what God is going to do in their life. Rejoice in what God is going to do, is doing in your life right now as you pray. A final biblical principle to help you deal with the loneliness of intercession, the frustration, the discouragement that often comes, is remember that God values your intercession. If you will, take your copy of the Word of God and turn to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel chapter 22. This is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. This is one of those that I go to over and over again. If you're around me very much, you're going to hear me talk about this passage of Scripture. If you may preach and teach on the subject of prayer, you're going to hear me over and over and over and over again refer to this passage of Scripture, because it is powerful. And not only is it powerful, but it is also something that we can use to anchor ourselves in the midst of intercession for others, regardless of what's going on, regardless of what we see or what we don't see, what we feel or what we don't feel. Look what the Word of God says, Ezekiel 22, verses 30 and 31. So I sought for a man among them who would make up a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. Therefore I have poured out my indignation on them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. I have recompensed their deeds on their own heads, says the Lord God. Those that you pray for may never know that you pray for them. They may never value your intercession for them. No one may understand the fact of your intercession. No one may appreciate the fact that you love to pray and that you intercede for others. But I want you to understand, remember, God is pleased with your intercession. God delights in your prayer for other people. He rejoices in, He is blessed by your intercession for others. God responds in this way because He is determined to use your praying to accomplish His purposes in the world. God has ordained to touch and change people's lives through your praying. If anyone ever gets saved, it's because somebody prayed. If anyone ever gets healed, it's because somebody prayed. If anybody ever gets blessed, it is because somebody prayed. If anybody ever gets delivered from the enemy, if they ever get delivered from any type of situation, it is because somebody somewhere prayed. That is the way God has ordained things. That is the way God has purposed to accomplish His purposes in this world. Whatever God has purposed to do in a person's life, He'll do it in intercession. And we see this in Ezekiel 22, verses 30 and 31. And the principle that we need to see here today is that God uses the prayers of His people to impact others, even nations. Because it says in verse 30, "So I sought for a man among them that would make up a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land that I should not destroy it, but I found no one." God says, "I was looking for one person who would stand in the gap, one person who would pray for this nation." And He says, "I would not have destroyed it. If there had been one person to pray, I would not have destroyed it. But God found no intercessor." And verse 31, "Therefore I have poured out my indignation on them." See, if someone had prayed, God would deliver that sinful nation. The truth is today, God values your intercession. He loves it. He delights in it. He uses it because He has purpose to use the prayers of His people. God has changed His purposes to the prayers of people. He is determined to use your praying to carry out His will for people and for nations. This is why God values your intercession. This is why He delights in it. This is why He rejoices over your praying, because you are joining Him in His work on this earth. You are laboring to be an instrument for Him in this world. You are striving to see His will done on this earth. That moves the heart of God. God pleased by this. He values your intercession. And today, if you feel like nobody values your intercession, if you feel like nobody appreciates your praying, that what you're doing is useless and it's of no value, today be encouraged, because God loves your prayers. He delights in them, and He will use them. Today, what are you struggling with? As you pray for others, as you pour your heart out to God, what are you facing today? Loneliness? Frustration? Fear? Doubt? Discouragement? Today you're not alone, because intercessors throughout the history of the church have faced the same thing. But the good news is, they faced it and were able to overcome it. And so do you. Right now, will you just simply go to Jesus? Will you just right now bow your head and simply cry out to Jesus? Tell Him about your loneliness, or your fear, or your frustration, your doubt, your discouragement. Tell Him what it is that you're struggling with today in your prayer life. Ask Him to help you deal with this. Ask Him to mold you and shape you into a powerful intercessor. Will you do that today? You don't have to be hindered or crippled by the loneliness of an intercessor, by that frustration or discouragement or doubt or fear, all those things that come with it. But you can be victorious over those things if you'll cry out to Jesus and put into practice the biblical principles that we talked about today. Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every person that hears this, whether in this building today or throughout the tape, that Lord God, right now, You might strengthen them in their praying before You. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that You would mold them and shape them into powerful intercessors for Your sake. Help them to deal with anything that might hinder or cripple their intercession. Lord God, today, strengthen them. Lord God, today, give them encouragement. Lord God, give them power. Lord, as I pray, I see so many in my heart, I know You're revealing this to me now, that so many today that are listening to this, that they're discouraged, that they're filled with frustration, that they're really struggling. Today, Lord God, Grant them a fresh touch of your power. Grant them a fresh anointing to pray. In the name of Jesus, empower them to pray as never before in their lives. Lord God, enable us to put into practice these principles. Give us victory. Let us be intercessors before you, that you bless, that you touch, that you use. For it's in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen.